Yeah, here we go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet, right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you smash that subscribe button right down there. And I am realizing I'm going to need a new hat here because football season is over. What a game last night. Got off to a slow start. Fantastic ending, though. Congratulations to Kansas City Chiefs fans and bettors. I'm not a fan of them. I was a fan of them last night because I was a bettor of theirs. So, yeah, it turned out to be a fantastic game. A lot to discuss there. So we're going to do a little bit of a recap here for Super Bowl 58 with Jason Logan. We're also going to be taking a look ahead to next season. Of course, futures odds are up for who will win the 2024-2025 Super Bowl 59, whatever in the heck you want to call it. Kansas City Chiefs, a lot of talk of a three-peat here, so we shall see. Then in the second half of the show, best bets for the NBA with John Mettler, and quick housekeeping item off the top here. So we are back today. Then we're going to take a little bit of a break. We'll be back. We won't be back until next Thursday because I'm taking the rest of this week off, and then the NBA, they have their all-star break, so no games on Friday, Monday. They don't return till next Thursday. Okay, let's get rolling here with my first guest of the day in his traditional Monday spot, our guy, Jason Logan. J-Lo, how you feeling here today?
Good. A little worse for wear, and it's bittersweet. I mean, you Super Bowl was a lot of work that we put in here at Covers, and guys bust their ass, and so it's good to see a good game come out, and you're like, oh, okay, it's over with. But then you're like, oh, no, it's over with. And so plenty to come down the road to keep us busy, but always bittersweet to see football season wrap up.
Yeah, we have crossed the finish line, feeling a little foggy here this morning. I indulged a little bit last night, as I'm sure most of the
good
viewers.
For you.
Just a little bit. You know, I usually don't, I'll just say indulge and leave it at that, but I usually don't indulge on a work night. But hey, it's a Super Bowl. You got to celebrate here. My Super Bowl party for one was an absolute hit last night. Okay, let's talk.
You just watch it by yourself, right?
Yeah, my son joined me for the first quarter, and then it was past his bedtime. So we
hit the bricks, kid. I had a packed house here. I was running around food. Honestly, I kind of watched the game in bits and pieces for the most part because I was like running food and grabbing stuff. And
yeah, it was a great game. Guys, participate in the show. If you're watching right now, hit up the live chat. Let us know what you thought of the game last night. Let us know what your best bets are for tonight in the NBA, the NHL, college basketball, whatever. Any futures you like for the NFL next season, drop them in the live chat, and I will read off a few during the show here. Okay, so a couple of big takeaways for Super Bowl 58 for me. So, of course, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, they're going to get most of the headlines here, but let's give this Kansas City defense its flowers. This was an epic, epic run they went on during these playoffs. So check this out. They played teams that ranked second, third, fourth, and sixth in points per game this season during the playoffs. So the Dolphins, Bills, Ravens, and of course the 49ers last night, they held those four teams to 15.75 points per game in the playoffs. So just an epic, legendary run here by the Chiefs defense. So let's give them a lot of credit. In terms of the blame game, you know, obviously Shanahan's going to get most of the blame. Moody a little bit too, I guess, for missing that extra point. Won't kill any of these guys, but we're seeing this pattern now with Shanahan that it's quite disturbing. So in Shanahan's three Super Bowls as an offensive coordinator and head coach, his teams have been outscored 68-12 in the fourth quarter and in overtime. It's looking like this guy can't really close the overtime stuff too. I'm not going to kill him for deciding to accept the ball. I don't think that ultimately decided the game. It's kind of weird though afterwards how some 49ers players came out and said they didn't really understand the rules of overtime in the playoffs, how it's different from the regular season, how both teams will possess the ball no matter what. I don't know if Tony Romo knew the rules either. So the boys should probably freshen up on that a little bit here going into next season. J-Lo, any big takeaways for you from the game here?
Football giveth and football taketh away. And we look at San Francisco and the luck that they had in that second half against the Lions in the NFC Championship game. A lot of bounces went their way. And then the luck that they didn't have in the Super Bowl last night You have a guy like, was it Greenlaw, had that Achilles injury.
Oh my God, freak
Achilles injury. Now, the second that happened, and I was watching the game with Jared Hockman, our coverage colleague, and I was like, I'm betting over on Kelce receiving yards right now, because Greenlaw and Warner were such a big part of being able to kind of double team his as coverage linebackers. And then Kelce had a massive second half, right? Some big catches and was able to pull it up. And then, of course, the punt that hit the guy in the heel, and that set up for that easy touchdown for Kansas City to get their offense rolling as well, too. That was big. And then they had the blocked extra point. So some bad luck swung the way. And it was funny, we talked about the Niners all year, but like, they're finally healthy. And you saw guys like Kittle having to leave the field briefly and come back, and Deebo Samuel playing through what looked like a hamstring injury. Like, they really toughed it out, but they had some bad luck in that game. And that's not to take anything away from Kansas City, because it is all part of the game. But in the end, I mean, it comes down to quarterback play. And we saw that Mahomes was able to, I said heading into the game that Brock Purdy isn't going to win you the game. He could definitely lose you the game. And Mahomes is a guy that can absolutely win you the game. So we saw that. We saw the coaching. The second half adjustments from Spags on defense was phenomenal. The patience that Kansas City showed on offense to find, like, to kind of trust their guys and get going again. That was, you know, that's just being there before too. And then, you talk about something that the Chiefs had a plan in place for overtime in the playoffs in training camp. So things that they were doing in August are now showing up. So that's just being prepared, and that's solid coaching as well too. So it always comes down to coaching and quarterback play. That's the two dynamic things. And I don't know if anyone has anything better than what you have in Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes right now.
Okay. Yeah. So an entertaining game, and I think an entertaining night of entertainment overall. Pretty good reviews here of the halftime show. I thought the halftime show kind of like the game. It got better as it went along. Now, I'm not extremely passionate about Usher by any means, and I don't come out of a lot of halftime shows thinking, oh my God, that blew my mind, that was incredible. I really did like Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Eminem, and 50 Cent a couple years ago, but I did like Lil Jon and Ludacris coming out, and I thought the commercials were really good too. A lot of people often complain about the commercials, and I say to people, don't expect just to be wildly entertained by the commercials during the Super Bowl, but I thought there were a couple of really good ones. The Dunkin' Donuts one with Ben Affleck, J-Lo, the other J-Lo, Tom Brady, Matt Damon. I thought that was incredible. And Uber Eats had a really good one with Jennifer Aniston and David Schwimmer, Ross from Friends. They had a whole little bit that they did. I thought that was really good too. And I like that we saw a lot of movie trailers too. If you're going to be releasing a big movie, the time to drop the trailer, do a Super Bowl ad. Deadpool 3 was one of the ones that they
did. It looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, so very entertaining. Any thoughts on the entertainment outside of the actual football game last night?
So I am a big Usher fan. I grew up listening to it in high school and university and all that through. So I do enjoy Usher. I thought it was a fantastic halftime show, one of the better ones that we've seen. I love that he brought in people. Those are things that we haven't seen recently. Brought in Alicia Keys. She was fantastic. Lil Jon, Ludacris. And it gave those people time to shine too. Like, they sang some of their own songs too, which was very, very cool. Not just collabs with Usher. That was cool. The State Farm ad with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito was very funny. Neighbor instead of neighbor. That was a good one. I don't know if you saw that one. But as a better in the halftime show, so I had You Don't Have to Call 14-01. That was a good long shot play. There were a couple, like You Make Me Wanna was one I was talking about all week. I got a great price on that. You Remind Me, got a good price on that. He didn't sing those songs. Those were staples. But as an Usher fan, really, really enjoyed it. One of the better halftime shows. I'll always say Prince, because I'm a massive Prince fan. That's number one and very hard to beat. And it was all about the music for him. But Usher, extremely good halftime show. Put on a big show. Sweating balls. It was awesome.
So I think next year, I think they will do something to cater to an older audience with the halftime show. Because if you look at the last ones, Usher, Rihanna, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, The Weeknd, all kind of catering towards a little bit of a younger audience. Maybe go something rock heavy next year. I would like to see Metallica.
Joe, here's a dirty secret. We are the older audience now. That's the thing. The 30, 40, 50-year-old set. We're now that older audience. We're the ones that are there to watch it. We're the ones that are spending the money on the commercials. So, did you lose me?
Your video went out there for some reason.
We video. Can still chat. I have here. A people... walk. Can you hear my audio though?
Oh yeah, we get you. People got to look at my mug here, but right now let's actually take a look to the future here. What is lost your camera, JLo? Okay, I'll talk for now. No biggie. Well, we get things arranged there. Let's take a look at the futures here going into next season for the Super Bowl. Of course, these are up at every sports book. The 49ers are the favorite at plus 550. I don't know about that. Do you trust Kyle Shanahan in a big spot? I do not know about that. Followed by the Chiefs going for the three-peat at plus 650. Baltimore, Lamar, do you trust him in a big spot? I don't know about that. 9-1. Buffalo, Detroit, I think they could come back strong. Ben Johnson coming back at offensive coordinator. That's massive for them. The Bengals, they looked like they were about to hit their stride here this season. Then, of course, we saw Joe Burrow go down. My Miami Dolphins coming in with the seventh best odds. I don't mind that. You know, they got a second place schedule. They had a lot of bad injury luck too, guys, at the end of the year. And come on, they need to go into Kansas City, was minus a million out. They didn't stand a chance in the playoffs with all those injuries and the conditions of that game. I think the Eagles could bounce back. I know a lot of people like to beat up on them towards the end of the season. The wheels really fell off, but I think they got their coaching situation. They got Matt Patricia out of there. Vic Fangio, I think that's a pretty big upgrade for them. You look down the bottom of the odds board. I think some people would be surprised to see the Denver Broncos have the third worst odds. I'm not really surprised by that. Who knows what they're going to be doing with their quarterback. The cap situation is in disaster as well. Doesn't look good for them. The Panthers, yeah, I agree with the Panthers having the longest odds here. So, JLo, let's play a little game here. Let's each pick someone who could be a potential bust and someone who could be a potential sleeper going into next season.
Sure. The
potential bust for me, I'm going to target the Buffalo Bills here. So we saw Buffalo this season. They were hanging on by an absolute thread at points of the season here this year. And yes, we give them credit. They had a great run at the end of the year. I think it was five straight games they ended up winning to get into the playoffs. But some red flags here. They do have the second least amount of cap space going into next season. Now, I know there's things that they can do to maneuver around, but Josh Allen's taking up a big chunk of their salary cap here. Their head coach, Sean McDermott, he's going to be on the hot seat. I think they should have let him go and started over at the head coaching position. Josh Allen, he can't do it all himself. Who's going to step up on this offense? Stephon Diggs, he looks like he's past his prime. It looks like the team might potentially move on from him to help out with their cap situation. So I think a lot to overcome here for the Buffalo Bills. So I have them as a potential bust. Now, when I say bust, I'm not saying they're going to suck next season.
Yeah.
I'm saying, hey, they might struggle, might not get into the playoffs here. So who do you have as a potential bust for next season?
I'm going to go with these guys right above my head here, the Dallas Cowboys, who that's my team is Dallas, but you lost the beating heart of this team, which was Dan Quinn. And I really thought that they should have let Mike McCarthy go, should have had Dan Quinn, the head coach. There you stick around with that defense that he's put together, how disruptive they've been. They've really been the difference maker. But now, what was it? They hired Mike Zimmer, the retread of Mike Zimmer. That's another like aggressive defense as well, too. But I think you're going to lose a lot of guys in the locker room that were DQ guys. I think it's going to be tough for them to kind of rally around. And then, it's Dak, another year older. This was his best season, and it wasn't enough. So I think that's what we're going to see. There's some questions at running back as well, too. Tony Pollard is on that free agent list, whether they fork out the money for him. And can he be a feature back for them? And Mike McCarthy wants to run. We want to run the football. So you got to get another capable running back in there. So a lot of questions. And I think the division is going to get better. The Eagles are going to come back blaring. I don't think the Giants are going to be as bad as what they were this year. It's hard to be that bad. And then Washington's on the up and up as well, too. They have a great ownership group there. That's where Dan Quinn is now. So he's going to rally the culture there in Washington. And I don't think the Commanders are going to kind of walk away with they're not going to let people walk all over them. So I'm going to say Dallas. And then because they won that division, they're going to get that first place division schedule. So it's a tough climb.
That's true. Okay, potential sleepers. I'm going to start us off and go with the Arizona Cardinals. Even though they only won four games this past season, I think that they were a lot more competitive than people thought they would be, especially when Kyler Murray came back. And a lot of this selection is about Murray. Still just 26 years old. He seems to be properly motivated here and matured a little bit after going through that injury. The new coaching staff seems to be pretty good. They have a great position in the draft too, fourth overall. So they're going to be in a position to take either Marvin Harrison Jr., which I think is the most likely move, or the best offensive lineman as well. They got a ton of cap space. And look who they play next season because of finishing in last place. They got the Bears, Jets, Patriots, and Commanders all at home. And they also go to Carolina to play the Panthers. So I think the Cardinals, I'm not predicting that they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I think this is a team that can flirt with finishing over 500 and potentially pushing for a wild card spot. So who do you have as a potential sleeper for next season?
Yeah, my eyes go to the Indianapolis Colts. This is a team that had a brand new coach in Shane Steichen. They had Anthony Richardson as their rookie quarterback in a system that was pretty much set up for him. We were thinking Philly light, they brought that over from Philadelphia. He kind of fits the Jalen Hurts model. And, in the 2.5 games or 3 games that he was able to play, he was really good. Rushing for touchdowns, was a very dangerous QB. And then he obviously gets injured and they have to flip this whole system on their ears. And they brought in Gardner Minshew and he kept them competitive. And they were a very aggressive defense in terms of play call, or sorry, aggressive offense in terms of play calling. The defense is going to need some work. But I think they will be, if they can run the system that they want and be a little more ground orientated, they'll be able to kind of control the clock, control the football, and the defense isn't going to be as exposed as they were. And there was a team, Indy was very much in the mix towards the end of the year too. And they play in this AFC South, which is kind of a crapshoot. Is CJ Stroud going to have a sophomore slump? Are the Jags frauds? Tennessee is now in complete rebuild. So the door is open for the Colts to continue a growth period. They went through some tough stuff this year. They got some young, nice young players. So I like the Colts. They're going to be interested to see what they do. I think Mike Pittman is up for, I think he's a big free agent this year too, I believe.
So. He is. Yeah. Okay. Let's make a couple of bold predictions here for the off season. Off season, always very exciting. A lot of big time player movement in the draft, just a couple months away. So two for me. This is one that I made earlier in the season. I'm going to stick to it. I think Russell Wilson will end up on the Atlanta Falcons, who desperately need a quarterback here. So from his perspective, get the hell out of that division. playing Mahomes twice a year. Screw that. And go play in the worst division in football in a dome for a team that already has a strong offense in place. This is a team that might be a quarterback away from becoming a contender here. Yep. From the Falcons' perspective, they got a new head coach. They need some stability at quarterback, not a project. I don't see the Falcons trading up in the draft to get one of those top three guys. They need someone who can come in and run that offense from day one. And he's coming off a good season here. I know a lot of people like to turn him into a punching bag. 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, playing for a coach who hated him. So I think go to Atlanta where he can be embraced there and be a real leader and kind of get his career back on track there for Russell Wilson. Now, maybe not that bold of a prediction there, but here's a bold one. So the Kansas City Chiefs need to get Patrick Mahomes a new weapon, a new toy. This was a big theme of the season, right? Travis Kelce's getting a lot older. He finished the season strong in the playoffs here, but not a great regular season, to be fair. Rashee Rice is nice, but probably not a true number one receiver. And there is a guy who was a number two on his team this past season and the past couple seasons who has the ability to be a true number one. This man is a free agent, and he plays for one of the Chiefs' biggest rivals, the Cincinnati Bengals. T. Higgins is available. Young man here, I think just 25 years old. Kansas City does have a workable cap situation, and they need to set this offense up for the next chapter at Patrick Mahomes. We see this with teams like the quarterbacks have such great longevity, but the skilled players don't, right? You saw Peyton Manning go from Marvin Harrison to Reggie Wayne. Aaron Rodgers goes from Jordy Nelson to Devontae Adams. And you see a lot of incarnations like that for the great quarterback. So, yeah, they need to set Mahomes up for the next chapter. Go out there and get T. Higgins. I know T. Higgins is rumored to go to the Tennessee Titans to follow his offensive coordinator who took the head coaching job there. But that's a rebuild. Yeah, you can take the money, still get some decent money here, and play for a team going for a three-peat and play with the best. A guy that some think is the best quarterback of all time. I'm not going to go that far yet. But yeah, T. Higgins to the Kansas City Chiefs. What do you have for a bold prediction for us?
I'll stick with the Chiefs, but I'll say Mike Evans. And I know this has been in rumblings in the works since September. But Mike Evans, to me, is a guy that could come in here very similar to like Tom Brady when they went and got Randy Moss, right? Mike Evans has a title. But he can come in here and as a, you know, I don't know if he'll have to take, if they can get a discount on him and not have to pay the max, for a wide receiver of his caliber and say, hey, want to come here and win another one or two Super Bowls. And that's very, very enticing for Mike Evans, who still, while he's had his ups and downs with injuries, still massively productive guy and a guy that can stretch the field and fits perfectly into the system, because it almost like, look at the Patriots when they had, you had your tight ends like a Gronk who could do damage. You had guys like Welker and Edelman that kind of fit the Rice thing, and then they need that guy that can kind of stretch the field over the top, open it up for everyone. He's always that home run threat, and I think Mike Evans could be that guy. So if Evans is wants to add to his legacy, you know, he can go there to Kansas City. Kansas City's going to have some money depending on where they spend, but if they're going to win three in a row, they have to get better. They cannot just be this team. They have a young, beautiful young defense. They're not having to spend a whole lot of money there. Chris Jones, as their big free agent on defense, could be a guy, but they've got a lot of young players there. So I think the time is there to get him a nice weapon. Then the other guy that I like, Derrick Henry, to go to the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Cincinnati Bengals are a team that I do like in the Super Bowl odds because they have Joe Burrow. He's a top three quarterback. And he's got the best of Mahomes and Josh Allen as well, too, in those AFC games. So you bring in Derrick Henry, and that's one big thing that the Bengals are missing. They have this beautiful array of receivers, but Joe Mixon is just not the threat on the ground, and he definitely doesn't make defense play honest. And I think Derrick Henry gets in there. It's not all on Derrick Henry. The job is going to be easy for him because they can pass, and it's going to be easy for Joe Burrow when Derrick Henry gets it going. And it's going to help out, too. They've kind of had a wishy-washy offensive line, unable to keep Joe Burrow healthy, and Derrick Henry definitely makes defenses honest. And great red zone threat, if anything. So I like Derrick Henry going to the Bengals. That'd be a nice fit.
Yeah, I like it. Still some gas in the tank there for Henry. Absolutely. Maybe not 25 touches a game, but maybe 12 to 15. Absolutely, he can make a big impact. And like it's, to keep the defense it's honest.
And there's a ton of space when you've got Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Higgins or a Boyd or whoever ends up still playing there. You know, they're going to give you a ton of room. So, I think that would be an excellent fit and great for Derrick Henry to go chase a championship.
Absolutely. Okay. So that's it for football talk this season. We'll end it at that after talking about it for 7 straight months here. But we've loved having you on all football season in your spot here on Monday. We hit plenty of winners for the people on Monday Night Football and throughout the playoffs. But that's not it from you, because you're going to be covering college basketball for us here going forward, and we'll have you on the show once a week or so. We'll get that all ironed out here. Sometime this week, I guess, behind the scenes. And so enjoy a little bit of downtime here, and we'll enjoy ramping up to March Madness with you here, probably starting in a week or two.
Yeah, sounds good, Joe. Appreciate all the time and all the football combos, and can't wait to do it again next year.
Awesome, my man. Have a good afternoon.
All right, you too. Thanks.
All right. Comment in the chat from Jose. He says, Samue bueno e lo pronosticanos. Good, good. I'm thinking that's a compliment. I'll ask producer Mick to translate that. Or maybe our next guest, John Mettler. Let's bring him in. John, you speak Spanish, don't you?
Nope.
He doesn't. I'm thinking Jose is complimenting us. We'll see if Mick can... behind the scenes can figure out what Jose is saying. John, how you making out?
Good. And basketball's the main event now. We're moving on to
everyone. Indeed.
Flip their NFL bang to NBA, so they're joining us now.
Yeah, NBA will be leading the show here going forward. We're going to have college basketball coverage for you, too. We got to figure out what we're going to do with hockey. Maybe a couple puck picks per night. And then baseball will be here at the end of March. So still lots to get into. Some golf and stuff as well. Big UFC event going down this weekend. Okay, John, six total picks for us here. Let's put together a winning card here for the people. I will get us started. Let's get right into the action. I'm going to take the Cleveland Cavaliers, a big favorite here. Minus 10 taking on the Philadelphia 76ers. Here is why I like them to cover the spread. So the 76ers probably a lot worse than you think since Embiid went down. They're playing like one of the worst teams, or they have been one of the worst teams in the league since Embiid went down. Check out their last 10 games. They're dead last in effective field goal shooting percentage and 29th. An opponent EFG, so god-awful on both ends. Only wins in this 10-game span came against the Wizards. Congratulations on that, and the Jazz. Meanwhile, big spread here, but lopsided wins are starting to pile up for Cleveland. 12 double-digit wins in 2024. They played 9 home games since we swapped to 2024 here. 9-0 at home with a point margin of plus 19.4 in those home games. Easily the best in the NBA. And statistically, it's great defense versus awful offense here. Cavs ranked first in defensive rating over the last 10 games. Sixers, as I pointed out, dead last in EFG percentage and in three-point percentage. So I think the Cavaliers have their way with the 76ers tonight. Of course, Mettler's on the props here, and he's on Luka for something tonight. What do you like for him, John?
So I'm going Luka Doncic over 9.5 assists, and he's playing against the Washington Wizards. So this kind of goes both ways. So for one, I like Doncic over the assists because at the trade deadline, the Mavericks added Daniel Gafford. He came from the Wizards. Daniel Gafford is like a complete lob threat, perfect fit for Luka Doncic. I love that. So this is something where, you know, when you Derek Lively's been out, so with Dwight Powell, there's not really that lob threat. He's a completely different type of player. So this is Gafford, someone who can convert potential assists really at a high rate for Doncic, and Doncic is going to look for him. The flip side of this is he's actually playing against his old team, the Wizards. So, and their rim protection has been poor all year, even like with Gafford. It wasn't Gafford's fault. There's just no help around him. Like they would sub Gafford out and Daniil Gallinari comes in and there's just no rim protection. So now with Gafford gone, you know, they started Kyle Kuzma against the Celtics at center, and Kyle Kuzma's not a center. He's more a wing player. And then they started Marvin Bagley, and Marvin Bagley's defense is not good at all. So it's kind of like, this is working both ways. It's like, I like Doncic because he plays with Gafford, and then the Wizards are also vulnerable to these assists on the interior because Gafford doesn't play for them anymore. It's just ironic that we're kind of using Gafford against the Wizards and, you know, or whatever. For Doncic, you know, this total does seem high, and you would be a little concerned with just, you know, the total, the spread is 13.5 here for the Mavericks. The Mavericks like to score. They're not going to beat you with defense, and the Wizards can score. So I think the Wizards can kind of like at least keep pace long enough that we can keep Doncic in this game. Hopefully it's not like a 40-point blow or something. I just think the Wizards can score with the Mavericks, and that will kind of keep that spread a little tighter just to keep Doncic in the game. And they also have no, like, Tyus Jones, Jordan Poole, like, who's guarding Doncic? They're going to have to send a ton of help, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, this turns into a lot of passes. And just the addition, I love the, you know, the adding of Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington. Those are just two guys that can really help Doncic get assists. So I really like the add of those two guys. I'm kind of attacking that before it gets picked up a little bit here.
Yeah, some good depth for the Mavericks there at the trade deadline for sure. So those of you who are curious about the translation of Jose's comment, producer Mick hard at work behind the scenes over in Google Translate, and Jose said they are very good at forecasting. Good. So we used the word good 3 times there. So that right there is pretty good in its own right. So thank you, Jose, for the compliment. Okay, right back to the picks here, everybody. Spurs Raptors getting after it. Not exactly a Super Bowl 58, but I think a good betting opportunity. I think this total's too high. 237 going to take the under. So we've seen a very low scoring pattern in Raptors home games lately. 7 straight unders. Average combined score of just 216 in those games. This one 21 points higher than that average. Spurs are on a nice under roll of their own. It's hit in 8 of their last 9 games. 8 of those games actually stayed under this number of 237. Ice cold shooting from each of these teams. 26th and 28th in EFG shooting percentage for the last 10 games. 26th and 27th in points per 100 possessions in this span. Spurs three-point shooting has been awful. The Raptors are playing at one of the slower paces in the NBA lately as well, so that will help. Expect a lot of dead possessions, both teams being very turnover prone, especially the Spurs. And both teams, yeah, they do stink defensively, to be fair, but both are pretty good at limiting free throws, each in the top seven in opponent free throw attempt rate over the last 10 games. So hopefully that will keep some points off the board in this one. So under 237 between Spurs and Raptors. John, Alex Caruso, what do we like for him?
That's also a Jakob Poeltl revenge game right there that you're going after.
Oh, yeah. There'll be a lot of eyes on the game as a result, right?
Yeah. So I'm going Alex Caruso over 8.5 points. It's minus 125. This is easily my favorite prop today on the board. Caruso, like you think of Caruso as defense, and you're not wrong. Like, he is one of the best perimeter defenders in the entire NBA. The thing is, he's actually a pretty good shooter, too. And he's shooting like 39% from three on the year, and most of his field goal attempts do come from beyond the arc. That will always kind of be there. Like, you'll expect him to take those shots tonight. But against the Hawks, like specifically, this is a matchup that, you know, this could turn into some Hawks games turn into a layup line a bit. They don't really play defense. It's more up tempo. If Caruso can just mix in, and he's someone who will attack the lane, if Caruso can just mix in like a couple easy baskets just because of the Hawks and like the defense they play, and then all of a sudden you throw in, you know, your usual allotment of three-point attempts and stuff, this 8.5 is looking pretty good for Caruso. And I think the other thing too here, you know, you're always trying to project like minutes. That's the biggest thing when it comes to player props and stuff. Caruso's minutes are going to be there because the Hawks offense runs off of the backcourt of Trae Young, Deonte Murray. They're going to have Caruso trying to disrupt that as much as possible. He'll be the primary defender on Trae Young. The flip side of that too is, you know, for the Bulls offense, like Jalen Johnson will, I'm assuming, will draw DeMar DeRozan. Deonte Murray will draw Kobe White, and then Trae Young will be on Alex Caruso. The Bulls should be involving Caruso in a lot of actions, whether it's at him directly attacking Trae Young's defense or trying to get a switch onto Kobe White or DeMar DeRozan. I just think Caruso is going to be a lot more involved in the offense you would typically see, and that should open up some more, you know, shot attempts from there. It's still 8.5 minus 125. I'm kind of surprised by that. I thought it would get up to like 9.5, maybe even 10.5. So maybe just people are sleeping after the Super Bowl bit here, but market hasn't really taken it. This is my favorite prop for sure.
Yeah, I kind of like the Bulls to cover in that game. Not enough to bet it, though. The Hawks have been playing a little bit better lately, but yeah, so I decided to stay away. But yeah, hopefully Caruso can come through for you. Okay, next up we go to Utah, Golden State Warriors in 10. I'm going to take the Warriors to cover the spread as a one-point favorite. So they are healthy. That absolutely helps, and they're playing their best basketball of the season right now. Dig into the stats. Your top five in both EFG and opponent EFG over the last 10 games. It makes a difference when you don't have players coming and going out of the lineup and Draymond Green's not getting suspended every other week. So yeah, Warriors playing their best basketball of the season. I think defense will be the difference in this game. Third versus dead last in defensive rating over the last 10 games. Utah is allowing the second most points in the NBA in the span. The Warriors are averaging the second most, and a big advantage from three-point land for Golden State in this game. So they are second in three-point percentage over the last 10 games. Utah, second last in opponent three-point percentage. Warriors are also great at defending the three ball. So I think they keep rolling here right into the all-star break. Warriors, minus one versus the Jets. Okay, John, final pick of the show. Bring it home. CJ McCollum, a guy who's burned me a couple times this year. But you like him for something tonight. What are we on?
Hopefully it doesn't burn us tonight. I'm going CJ McCollum over 4.5 assists. This is plus 130. So McCollum, his assist prop, he's gone under 9 of the last 10 games. His price has been coming down with that. There hasn't really been a sign to say, like, attack this price that's been dropping until recently. Like, his potential assists were also down when he was going in those under. So it wasn't really something I wanted to get after. But his last two games here, he's had 9 and 11 potential assists, so that's a really good sign. He just had 7 dimes on the weekend, but Zion Williamson was out of the game, so you got to, you know, proceed with caution a little bit there. The one thing I do like specifically to this matchup is he's played the Grizzlies 3 times this year. He's averaging 9 potential assists in those 3 games, and all 3 games were played with Zion and Brandon Ingram, so that's always a good sign, because with the Pelican stats, you can kind of get a little, you know, sometimes you look up and like, oh, McCollum had is averaging 8 assists against his team, but Zion missed both games. So at least you kind of know, like, with the usage rate we should expect and stuff. Zion is questionable, so that I think he's going to play. I think he just sat out because it was a back-to-back on the weekend, but I think he should play tonight. The Grizzlies are also, you know, they're giving up a lot of assists to guards recently too. So it's also kind of like a matchup thing. So like we had Kobe White over 5.5 last week. He had 8. He got way past her, and that was like a plus, I think, 132. It was a big plus money. And Trey Mann just made his debut for the Hornets, who they got from the Thunder, and he wasn't even really playing for the Thunder. I know he's a good player. A lot of people like him, but he had 9 assists against the Grizzlies. So the Grizzlies are kind of like yielding assists to guards. So I think this is kind of a spot where we can attack McCollum. McCollum should also have, you know, the Grizzlies are really beat up and injured, but they do actually have some pretty good defensive players. So Vince Williams will be on Brandon Ingram. Jaren Jackson Jr. should be on Zion. Maybe I might put him on Valanciunas, but he'll be watching Zion mostly. So McCollum should have like kind of the offensive advantage tonight from attacking this Grizzlies defense. That's also why I was looking at McCollum. This is a buy low opportunity, really attacking a price, really attacking a price point. You know, plus 134.5. This was like McCollum was like 5.5, like minus 120, like a couple weeks ago when he's before this under streak. I think this is where we can finally hop in, and it's looking like it's starting to turn.
Okay, so that does it for Monday's NBA bets, and we're going to be off the rest of the week on the show. But John, if anyone is looking for more NBA picks from you this week, let them know where they can find your work.
Yeah, on X, at John Mettler, and then also on covers.com, I write articles every day for, you know, daily player props and some game previews. What the All-Star games, the festivities start Friday, Saturday's 3-point shoot and all that stuff. So I also took Sabrina Ionescu plus 300 to beat Steph Curry in that contest. So a little early All-Star bet for everyone.
And do you bet on the slam dunk and the 3-point and like the game itself, or do you take those days off?
If I see something, like I don't just bet it for the sake of betting it. I did see, I looked at it briefly this weekend. Mac McClung was minus 200 for the slam dunk to repeat. That seems like, I might look at the other guys.
Is Jaylen Brown doing it this year?
Yeah, Jaylen Brown, Jaime Jaquez, and I'm blanking on the other guy. But I don't know, just minus 200 to repeat on an award that is like voting just seems. Yeah. And he's also a G Leaguer, right? So I don't know. I just minus 200 kind of seems a little. He has some incredible dunks. I've seen like YouTube of him, and he probably has more time to spend working on this than the other guys, but
yeah,
it just kind of popped up the page there.
Good for Jaylen Brown. You know, you usually like these guys, they roll out the dunk contest participants the past couple of years, and you're like, who in the hell is that guy? I've never heard of him before. And it's like, yeah, he's averaging 1.3 minutes per game this season. But Jaylen Brown, a guy making all the money in the world, he's got everything to lose. So good for him. All-star caliber player. They're competing in the dunk competition. Douglas Farmer weighing in, Cat to win another 3-point contest. Is Cat back competing in it? I don't even know who's competing in.
Cat's in it.
Go ahead.
You can say usually for the 3-point contest, you're looking for a guy who's more of like a set shooter than a jump shooter, just because it's a lot easier to get that rhythm and you're not tired and stuff. So Cat kind of fits that mold.
Yeah, I think most people have come around to the idea that the 3-point contest is actually better than the dunk contest. The dunk contest, year after year, it used to get so much hype, and maybe 1 out of 5 are good. You know, that you go way back to Michael Jordan versus Dominique Wilkins, the Vince Carter one, the Aaron Gordon versus Zach LaVine. I still think Aaron Gordon got screwed over, by the way. I'm sure you, as an Orlando Magic fan, would agree with me. On that one, McClung was good last year, but mainly I find the dunk competition to be one of the most overrated events in all of sports. But McClung was entertaining last year, so hopefully he can bring it this year, and hopefully get an entertaining 3-point shooting competition. I'll be watching the UFC that night, though, a big event this weekend in Anaheim. Okay, John, so I'm off the rest of the week, but I will catch you again on the show when the NBA resumes next Thursday. Best of luck with your bets and have a great week.
All right. I'll see everyone next Thursday.
Yes, sir. Okay. Winding right down here. Last show until next Thursday here, taking a little bit of a post-Super Bowl break. It does line up with the NBA taking about a week off as well. Still lots on the go here at Covers, though, on the YouTube channel. Make sure you are subscribed. Lots of great coverage for the NHL, some college basketball. I'm sure the guys will have some stuff up for the NBA All-Star. Big UFC, UFC 298 going down in Anaheim this weekend. Alexander Volkanovski, Roe and I will be recording our best bets video for that tomorrow. So make sure you check that out and make sure you head on over to coverage.com for everything else you need. A great resource for your handicapping and a bunch of free picks there as well. So yeah, thank you guys for watching all football season. It was an absolute blast. This started just as a football show and we decided to expand into other sports because we have a lot of great guys here at Covers covering all the different sports. So yeah, it was my best football season from a betting perspective ever. Hopefully some of that will rub off on my NBA because I do need a little bit of help there. Off to a rough start here in 2024, but we can turn that around. So thank you guys very much for tuning in today. Best of luck with your bets tonight, and I will see you guys again next Thursday. See you then.